or Mismar, Mismar Nun Hey, but I want to spend one more day going over some mafarshim that we did not touch upon on this Mismar. Okay, so let's take a look. Mismar Nun Hey, couple of ideas. Okay, first of all, let's go through. Let's take a look at a Malbim towards the beginning of the Mizmar on page. I have everything over here marked down. Just give me one moment. First thing let's talk about is Okay, let's look over here on page 484. Actually, we can review some of the basics. Okay, let's review over here, page 44, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Malbim. We're going to run through a couple of things. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Malbim, Ki loy oyev yicharfeinu vo'esa. Okay, maybe we even did this, but let's review over here. Over here, we're dealing over here with just a little bit of background to the story of this Mizmar of Avshalom and Achitofel. Avshalom is coming to kill his own father, and the one that has given him an encouragement and advice to kill his father is none other than Achitofel, his best friend. Pasuk Yud Gimel, page 484. I wanted just to go through today a couple of selected mefarshim on this mizmar. Okay, we finished the mizmar. We went to the mizmar very carefully with the Mitzudoi San Rashi, and with the beginning of the mizmar, I think we did better. But towards the end, we just went to the psuk. I wanted to speak out a couple of interesting things. So it's just a little bit of a background. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Malbim. 484 in the Malbim Pasuk Gimel Ki Lo Oyev Yecharfeni Ve'Asa Sha'agam Sha'arata Nitni Tzachti Es Oyvai V'Roitfai V'Nasasi Kol Atzoros Ata Chedef Yotza B'Bni V'Loi Uchal Se'esoi. In other words, this mizmar, this problem, it's a Musa Haskin
in
life.
Which side of the Malbim?
No, it's on the bottom. It's the entire bottom, page 484.
Pasuk Yud Gimel.
The second line, that this mizmar, David is saying that this situation life presents a unique challenge, and that's really Musa Haskell general life. That you all the experience that you have in life, you never know what's coming next. You don't know. Everything is said and done, and you deal with enemies and problems. Here, when he's dealing with the situation where his own child wants to kill him, this a person can never be prepared for. And to make things even more complicated, to compound the problem, when his best friend, Achitofel, when he aligns himself with his son and advises him how to kill his father, this is something which, after everything is said and done, all the preparation in life cannot prepare you for this situation. Let's read one more time. Shahagam, even though Sha'ar At until now, Nitzachti Es Oyvai V'Rodfai V'Nasasi Kol Hatzoros. My whole life, I've dealt with everything you can possibly imagine. I have prevailed upon my enemies, upon those who pursued me, and I was able to bear all of the difficulties of life. Ata, now, this situation, Chacheruf Yotza Mibini, a curse has come forth from my own child, who's trying to kill me? V'loy uchal se'esoy. This is something I cannot bear. It can shake you to the core. With all of the experience you have in life, you never know. There are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can challenge a person with that are totally, I've seen it all. You always say, my career, I've seen it all. There's nothing I haven't seen. But this, this is something which I can't deal with. Uritzonu Loimar, Shahayu Oshnei Eitzes Me Achi Toifel. Achi Toifel gave his son two pieces of advice. Aleph, Sheyavoy Avshalom Al Pilak She Aviv, Lechorfoy Ulevazoysoy. That Achitovel told Avshalom to go live with David's wives. Kiyan shu binoy tzarich legalay shu oyevlo. When a child lives with his father's wives, that is a red line that you don't cross. And if you do cross it, it is a point beyond return. There's no going back. And by doing so, it was because the people in the world would not realize, would not even believe that a child would want to kill their own father. But when the world heard that Avshalom lived with the wives of David, then they believed it. And then they knew that he's crossed the line, you can't return. And it's a different situation. Who's the one that gave him this advice? Achitofel. Shebeze yedu akol shenivash be'enei aviv, that the relationship has soured.
The Gemara says in this week's parsha on Zarafai Shemesh that if the father breaks into the son's house, the son should realize that his father would never kill him, but the other way around, a man would kill his father.
A man would kill his father,
a man
right?
Would kill his father, but a father
would
kill
never
his
kill
son.
A child, right? So if the father comes and you can't kill him, the father comes borrows his way into the house, you can't.
His life is not in danger, but the other way around it is.
Okay, it's frightening. So let's go further. Shechav loy oivel lo rak binoivo etza. There was the second etza. Haya sheyir doif achrei David balayla. Achitovel gave advice to Avshalom to pursue David at night. Shadas Achitofel Hoya Shadavid Lo Yisoser Es Atzmai Be'achad HaPesachim Oy HaBoyros. David would not hide at night in a pit, in a bunker, but would be exposed. The Achitofel knew the way David thinks. Achitofel was David's best friend. So Achitofel had insight into the thinking, into the behavior of David. And he told Avshalom, if you want to get him, chase after him tonight. He is vulnerable. David is not going to hide at night. You'll be easily be able to overtake him. And then what happened? So that's what he learns over here in this pasuk. Kiloy misani olai higdil she'esoser mimenu ubevada yolin esa'om v'yahargu balayla. Okay, I'm not sure how he means over here that my enemies did not. He thanks Hashem. I'm not sure how he reads into the pasuk, but the point is that his son. The main point I wanted to make over here with this Malam is that over here, that David is saying over here is that he was unprepared for such a terrible tragedy in his life, and it's a Musa Haskell. Person always has to, you know, have siyata d'shmaya in everything that he does, because life can be, you know, can throw you some curveballs that you're not prepared for. Let's go to page 486. No, he can. That's exactly what it's saying. Is that people sometimes they feel comfortable with themselves. Is that I've seen it all. I've seen it all, and we've been through this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of throwing curveballs for good also. For good also. Okay, you have to take everything that is over here and use it, L'toyv, that people cannot even fathom the bracha that Hashem gave them. People would say, they find themselves in a situation, and they say to themselves, they asked me 10 years ago, would I imagine that I would be where I am now? I would have a family and have children and have a parnasa and this. Impossible. My mind was so closed, was so narrow, I couldn't possibly fathom such a thing. You know, I daven in the yeshiva where they work with boys, where a lot of the boys, unfortunately, they're it's pretty scary. And sometimes, you know, the Baruch Hashem, they've been in business for a long time, and they have events, and, you know, their parents come, and their parents speak, and the parents say, I can't believe what I'm seeing here. I remember there was a boy made a Sima Shas, and the father spoke, and the father said, I can't believe my son is making a Siyum HaShas. I mean, he wasn't embarrassed to say it publicly. It's no secret. Like you would ask me 10 years ago, you know, it was a very different situation. And the same way over here, David over here is saying is, I have over here a difficulty that I never in my life imagined. Everything that I've done in my life has not prepared me for this situation. Likewise, on the other side, Kadosh Baruch Hu could bring upon a person blessing and no one could possibly fathom that this would be true. Only in Loi Kiyad Hashem Asa Sozois. That's how we have to take out of it spin it in a positive way. Let's take a look on page 486. On 46, there's another Malbim, which is very interesting. Yeah, and he focuses here upon the end of Achitofel. Achitofel, at the end, what did he do? When he saw that the tide is turning and David is winning, he commits suicide. He's a coward. Achitofel, a very complicated person. He was David's alufi umeyudohi. David calls him my best friend, my teacher, my rabbi, v'chulu v'chulu. At the end, what happened to Achitofel? He rebelled against David. He was an opportunist. He helped his son Avshalom. And then when he saw that Avshalom was losing, Avshalom was killed, he commits suicide. He hung himself. So the Malbim, look at the word, Valtzad Melitza. It's on page 486. In the middle of the page, right smack in the middle of the Malbim, second paragraph, Al Tzad HaMelitza. Melitza over here means this is not a literal translation of the Pasuk, it's more of a drush. You can read into the Pasuk an idea. It's like an idea that you can, you know, homiletically read into the words. Ze Musav Al Ma She'omar B'Pasuk She'achrei Ze Yashi Moves Olemo. David, the pasuk here, V'ato enosh ki erki alufi umi yudoi asher yachtov namtik soid b'veis l'kim nalach b'rogesh, and then it says Yashi moves olemoi. So the Malm over here is doing something very cute, and he's saying that again. The pshuta shel mikra is David is the speaker, and David, when he says V'ato and you, he's referring to Achitofel. You Achitofel, I can't believe that you would do this to me. You, who was an Enosh Ki Erki, you're my, we went to school together. You're just like me. You're Alufi, you're better than me. You're my master, you're my teacher. Chazal said that he taught him a few things. Umi Yudoi, and you are my best friend. I told you all of the secrets. Asher Yachtov Namtik Soil, we learned Bechavrusa together. Beveselukim Halach Barogesh, we went to yeshiva, we would go carpool together. I can't believe this. I can't believe what you have done, and I have to curse you now. Yashi Moves Olemoi, may Hashem be Mechayev you Misa for what you've done to me. That's what it's come to. So the Malbim says, Drush, that this conversation, this statement here is not being said by David with regard to Achitofel, but instead it's being said by the Malach HaMoves to Achitofel. The Malach HaMoves, there's a lot of very deep insight in what he says in here, which is not a good idea to get into, is that the Malach HaMoves is very disappointed that Achitofel did his job. Achitofel commits suicide. Okay, there's a lot to be said about suicide. So Malach HaMoves says, I can't believe you, Achitofel, commit suicide. I'm the one that takes the life of human beings. People do not take, this is again, this insight here, he says they're called Derech Melitza, but Rachmana Litzlan, today out there in the world, there are terrible situations where people are very depressed, and people take their own lives, Rachmana Litzlan, and over here, he touches upon these concepts, these themes, and he says that, the Malach HaMoves says, I am the one in this world who is in charge of taking the life of a human being. Hashem gives me a mission. Hashem, of course, decides whose time has come.
You would say this if someone else murdered somebody else, you would still say it's the Malach HaMoves. So why is it different if a person...
Okay, you're right, these are very complicated. This is Bechira Chavshis, you're 100% correct. But one thing is for sure, there's a different category when a person takes his own life. There's one thing when a person is murdered. told when Reuven murders Shimon. So you'll ask a question: was it bashert? Was it meant to be that when he was born, he's only going to live a certain amount of time? Like they, no one ever blames the Malach HaMavis. They blame it's this disease, that disease, this doctor, the hospital. Right? We always hear that no one will ever blame the Malach HaMavis. And the answer is always the try is this was bashert. This was what's meant to be. A person came into this world, and Azoy and Azoy, this was that's what we always hear Rabbanim telling us. Correct? That's what we, so that, but what happens in a situation where a person is murdered? He was murdered. So are you gonna say that this was meant to be? From the time when he was born, Hashem only gave him this number of years, and Hashem brought about his end in such a way, and if he would not have died through this brutality, he would have died naturally. So there's a discussion. There's a big topic of discussion if you can say that in a case where a person dies through the hands of another person who wanted to take his life. You can talk about that. There are all different types of ways to leave this world. People leave this world because of illness. People leave this world because they were killed accidentally, in an accident. People are killed because they were murdered. So when it comes to the topic of murder, there's a whole discussion. Was it bashert? Or you can't say it's bashert because the person has free will. Okay, now we come to the last case, is where Rachmana Litzlan, a person takes his own life. That's in the category by itself. Because even if you will argue that when a person is killed through murder, it was bashert, because the victim did not bring this upon himself. Someone did it to him. He didn't do this to himself. But when a person does it to himself, chooses to take his own life, that is a category to itself. Okay, what are the answers to these questions? No one knows. You can debate this forever. Here, there is an interesting Malbim that touches upon this concept and says that these psukim here, Bederech Melitza, is a conversation that the Malach HaMavis is having with Achitofel. And he says, Achitofel, I came here now to take your life. And I discovered you're already gone. Hashem is the one who has given me power. I am the only being in this world that has power to take the life of a human being, to bring him to the next world. And you, Achitofel, beat me to it. You took your own life. And this, the Malach HaMavis says, is very disturbing to me. Because this is not the way it's supposed to go in Adarab. He says that's something very, very fascinating, is that many, many times, I was telling you the whole thing outside before we read it inside, the Malach HaMavis says that many times, although Hashem tells me, the Malach HaMavis, go fetch so-and-so, I come here to do my job, and there's a tzaddik that's in the room, and the tzaddik sees me, and the tzaddik says, get out. Get out of here. I don't care what Hashem told you to go fetch the neshama of this person. This guy ain't going nowhere. Get out. I get advice from people. Hashem gives me a mission. I go on my mission, and there's interference. You, Achitofel, was that interference? There were many times where I went on a mission for Hashem to take someone's life, and as I come to the hospital, who do I see there? I see you there. And you're saying Tehillim. And you look at me in the eye and say, what are you doing here, Malach HaMavis? Get out. If you don't get out, I'll call the police. And that's it. That's it. I leave. Oh, Hashem told me. Hashem is goyzev, tzadik goyzev, Hashem mekayim. So he says here, I am in shock that you, who have the power to override my mission, you took your own life. It's like the Malach HaMavis here is expressing his utter shock. How many times did it happen in our existence where I was on a mission to fetch the neshama of a human being, and I come and you are there and you say, no, 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 forget about it. The mission is canceled. So how could it be that you yourself took your own life before its time? That's what he says on Derech Melitza.
It's very appropriate then where it's placed in sleepers, because the next pasuk is on a shamalach v'aguf palach, kusal amalach.
So wait, that says that after what?
Right. I should die. This pasuk, Asher biyado namtik sof.
Oh, it's the next pasuk. Interesting. Interesting. Good morning. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Nieh Bidvarai. Okay, let's look. Let's read this inside a little bit. V'al tzad ham, page 480, V'al tzad ham alitza. Zeh musav al mashem abhozik sh'acharei zeh yashi moves soleimoi. Set death upon achi toifel. Achitofel tzivol al beisai vayichonik. Achitofel, when he saw that Avshalom died, he commits suicide. Shehemis es atzma v'yosla be'atzma maseh shol malach hamoves. Achitofel did to himself what the malach hamoves is supposed to do. Mitzayer b'militzosoi shehu re'oi umi yudo'oi shel hamoves. We are describing here in this expression that Achitofel is the friend and the acquaintance of the Malach HaMoves. V'hamolach, we'll read the free word, V'hamoves yashi alemo kishabo lokachas choyvoy mimenu shu lokachas nishmosoy. When the Malach HaMoves arrived to get Achitofel, umotso, what did the Malach HaMoves discover? Sheheimis esatzmoy, that Achitofel took his own life. Omar Hamoves Elov, the Malach Hamoves said to Achitofel, Haloi, I can't believe this. Haloi ato enoish ki erki, ato Malach Hamoves kamoini. You, Achitofel, you're a Malach Hamoves just like me. What do we mean? He's saying, I can't believe this. So he's saying, the ato you, Achitofel, enoish, you're a person ki erki. I never knew that you're also a Malach HaMoves. Because when a person takes his own life, he is his own Malach HaMoves. So when the real Malach HaMoves arrives on the scene, I didn't know there's another person that has the same job as me. I thought I am the only one in the world that has this job. And now I come to this scene, this location, and I see there's a person who's dead, and I did not kill him. So that means there's another Malach HaMoves that does the same thing like me. I have competition. And who is the Malach HaMoves that did my job for me? It's the person who's dead himself, Achitofel. Achitofel took his own life. And that means Achitofel is also a Malach HaMoves. So when it says here, V'ato, who is the subject? Who is the one that is speaking? Me, Omar, El, me. When it says here the word V'ato, the speaker is the Malach HaMoves. And the Malach HaMoves is speaking to Achitofel. Me, Omar, El, me. The Malach HaMoves speaking to Achitofel. You, Enosh, you're a human being, Ki Erki, who's just like me. We share the same profession. We can talk shop. Because you killed yourself. But I can't believe this. You're the last person in the world I would expect would have this job. Because v'ata, but you are alufi umi yudoi. Shemosarta biyodi rabim lemis. Now, first of all, it says over here, it says, you're not the one who normally does this job. Because Achitofel, you have your own enemies. He says here in the Malbim that many times in battle, you told me, you called me up on your, you have me on speed dial, and you called me up and you asked me to come to the battlefield and to eliminate some of the enemy. You call the shots. You're the supervisor. You're not the one that does the dirty work. But many times you called me and you delivered into my hands a mission, Rabim Alamisa. Not only did you enlist my services to deliver into my hands people, ki him takto soid imi she'elich imcha gamel beis lukim be'es haregesh. This is very interesting what he says over here. There's a general rule There's a very frightening thing when it says over here, is that we have a general rule that the Malach HaMavis is not allowed to do its work in the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a very famous Gemara, Masechta Megillah, or Masechta Sukkah, I forgot, is where at the time of Mashiach, when Hashem is going to put out, is going to Shech the Yetzirah, so it's going to run. It's going to Masech the Sukkah. But I'm not sure that's the one I'm referring to. But there's going to be the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to want to put an end to the Malach HaMavis, and it's going to run. No, to the Sar Shel Edoy. Maybe it's a different Gemara, and it's going to run to the Beis Hamikdash, to Batzra, and it's going to hold on to the corners of the Mizbeach. It's going to go to the top of the Mizbeach. And it's going to hold on to the corners of the Mizbeach. I think it's the Sar of Edom. It's going to go there. Why? Because there's a tradition that the Malach HaMavis is not allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. It's like a refuge. The Beis HaMikdash is a location that is off limits to the Malach HaMavis. And that's why it's going to make a mistake. The Sar, this whatever this concept is, this being that whose time has come, it's time for him to be eliminated, is frightened and wants to spare himself, and it goes to the Beis HaMikdash, which is a zone where the Malach HaMavis has no shlita. And Hashem's going to make an exception. He made a mistake. No, take him off the Mizbech. Me'im Mizbechi, the Gemara makes a drasha. Me'im Mizbechi, tikochenu lomos. So, but what do you learn from this pasuk and this whole concept, which I'm just talking in, I don't even know what I'm talking about, is in the Beis HaMikdash, it is not a Mokoim where the Malach HaMavis has Shalita. And here in this pasuk, he says something that when there's an exception to the rule, when there's Regesh. We interpret this pasuk in a very beautiful way, that Regesh, Nahalech, Birogesh, we learn it means together. We go to the Beis HaMikdash as a unit, as a group, Achdus, Birogesh. Then we learn the other interpretation, it means with emotion, with Rogesh, with feeling. But here the Malbim learns it to mean to go, Rogesh means with Machloikis. And Rachmana Litzan, sometimes in the Beis HaKnesses and Beis Medrash, there is fighting. There's fighting. It's not so uncommon that in the yeshivas, there's ugly, dirty politics. And when there's ugly, dirty politics, there's Rogesh in the base Elohim, this Rogesh, then the Malach HaMavis is allowed to enter and do whatever it wants to do. It's a very scary, this part of the Malam is a very powerful piece in and of itself. The base HaMavis, for example, the Mizbeach, we all know the Mizbeach is not allowed to be cut with iron, with barzel. Why not? Because the Mizbeach is Marich Yomav, the Mizbeach is instrumental in bringing Kapara. And Kapara is Marich Yomav Ushnoisav Shalada. Therefore, Lo Sonif Alehem Barzel. Do not lift upon the stones of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach iron, because Barzel is a tool which is Mekatzer Yomav Vishonav Shalada. So therefore, Lo Sonif Alehem Barzel. The Beis HaMikdash is a Mokoim of Arichas Yomim. It's a place that makes peace between Hashem, Karban Shlomim, Oseh Shalom Bimreimov, Yaseh Shalom Aleinu. The Beis HaMikdash is a Mokoim that brings Arichas Yom. Therefore, under no condition can there be anything in the Beis HaMikdash that is Mekatzer Yomov Ushnoisav Shalodam, including the Malach HaMavis. There's no Mokoim for the Malach HaMavis in the Beis HaMikdash. But there's one condition. The condition is, there has to be peace and achdus and shalom between the people. But if you have a situation where in the Beis Elokim Nahalech we go birogesh, meaning we go with machloikis, there is fighting, and there is machloikis, then the Malach HaMavis says, I have permission to go there, and namtik soid, which he learns to mean to go and take the life of people. Let's read inside. Shabbeis Hamered Shalav Shalom. Okay, let me go back. ki imtakta soid imi shelich imach gam el beis elukim be'es horegesh. What's regesh? Hamerit. Shebe'es hamerit shel avsholim nosan eitzah shegam im yonus David o anosh of lebeis elukim. You, Achitofel, told me that even if David escapes to a base Hamedrash, base Hakneses, a base Elohim, Shesham lo hoyu horgim shum adam, you don't kill anyone in the place of in the base Medrash. K'moy shekosv, it says Vayechazek, this is what I was referring to in this Vayechazek bekarnes hamizbeach, that was with Shimon Gera. Shimon ben Gera, he went and he held on to the corners of the mizbeach because he can't kill the person in the base Hamikdash. You're right. I'm sorry. Yoyev, right? Yoyev. You hold on. He went into the base. In the base of Migdash. Amar to you, Achi Teufel said, V'yo'atzta she'elich imcha gam el beis elokim ritzon eloymar she'nasata rishus. You, Achi Teufel, you gave me permission el hamoves she'yarig anoshim gam bebeis elokim. The imkain ato aluf, you're the boss. You're the boss. Umodo shalmoves. And therefore I'm shocked. How could it be that you went and you took your own life? Okay, so he's saying Aderech Melitza. Aderech Melitza, here he's saying in the process of this, what he calls the Melitza, he is bringing out incredible principles about the Malach HaMoves. The Malach HaMoves is a worker. And the Malach HaMoves takes orders from Hashem, but he also takes orders from man, from tzaddikim. He takes orders from people. Hashem says, get this person, and the Malach HaMoves goes on his mission, and he comes up against opposition. There are people who tell him no, or in this case, the tzaddikim can on their own order of an app, Malach HaMoves app. Order the Malach HaMoves to come and to knock out, to take out wicked people. And can even take out wicked people even in the Beis Elokim. Achitofel used to be a good guy. Achitofel had so much power. Achitofel can order the Malach HaMoves to eliminate Rishoim. And even can give him advice, can give him permission to take the life of people inside the Beis Elokim, which is ordinarily a place that's off limits to the Malach HaMoves. But if it's a place of Rogesh, the Beis Elokim is turned into a place of Machloikis, Mered, rebellion, then the Malach HaMoves has Shlita there as well. And the shock that the Malach HaMoves is saying, if you're the boss, you should not be a victim of this harm. The warden doesn't usually find himself on the other side of the gate, right? Of the prison cell. The warden puts the prisoners inside. It's not normal where the warden is inside the prison cell and all the criminals on the outside of the prison cell. That's not the way it's supposed to go. So if Achitofel, you are the person that is giving orders, I can't believe that you ended up taking your own life. It doesn't make sense. That's not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, this, what do you call it? I'm not sure who said it. It might be Shimshon or Shamshon for Hirsch. He said the reason that Yoav wanted to hold on to the Karnos HaMizbeach and not be executed as a Morid the Malchus. Mm-hmm. Was when you're executed as a Lord of the Malchus, you lose all your property.
Right, that's
forfeited to the Malchus, and he wanted it to go on to the his Yarshin. This way, he just executed as one of the Arbamis of Bezdin. So then Shlomo gave into that. He allowed him to die that way instead of being considered the Lord of the Malchus and dying that way. So that people would say that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's on the Haftorah
a couple of weeks ago. Okay. It's a very good point. It's an interesting. It's a popular. That's a popular right. Shot in the pasuk. Is who's going to get the money? All goes back to money. Who's going to be the Yorish? Akesef Ya'anako. Okay, 487, next page. Okay, now that this is a chazal, this is another interpretation of this pasuk. The Beis Elokim Nalech Berogesh, okay, at the very, very bottom of the very, very bottom of the page, in the Likutei Shas, the Midrash HaTanoim, the Lishkas HaGozis, three lines from the bottom, Lishkas HaGozis, will even go a little bit further. Let's go read very quickly the whole thing. Pasuk Tesvav. Asher Yachtav Namtik Soit, together we sweetened the secret. Beveis Elokim Nalech Berogesh. We went to the Beis Hamikdash. Berogesh, Rogesh means, we said already three translations. Rogesh is together. Rogesh means emotion. Rogesh means rebellion. There's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of strife. There's a lot of machlokes. If there's a lot of machlokes, and the Malchamavis says, well, we're going to go there also, Rachman al-Tzlan. And now we have a fourth translation of Rogesh. Rogesh means to make a lot of noise. To make noise, to make a commotion. Why are the goyim? Why do they make a lot of noise? And sometimes it's good to make noise. Let's do this. Lama mefisin v'chayz mefisin. The Beis Hamikdash they did in the morning, every single morning, in preparation to do the avodah, they would cast their lottery. Who is going to be zoyche to do the ketores? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? There were four lotteries that were done every single day. And the question is why? Why do you have to have four lotteries? Make one lottery, make no lotteries. Why can't there be an orderly system? Make an orderly system or some type of system. Set up a plan, set up a calendar, a program, some algorithm. Why does everyone have to gather together?
Several times a day, right?
Four times. Okay, right, that's another thing. But why Bichlal do they have to go to decide who will do each part of the Avodah through a lottery? Because a lottery, everyone has to come together, stand there all squashed, and they have to take off their hats, and they have to go put out their thumbs and count, someone has to count. It makes a lot of noise. It makes noise, it's a commotion. Why can't you just have a chart? We'll have a chart.
No, the question here is why do it only once in a day?
Do it four times. Do it one time.
Do it once and get the whole thing done.
In one shot.
Yeah.
Let's say inside.
Also, the lottery is that things are instituted.
In order that to be a constant regulation.
Falling down, killing someone.
I'm sorry?
The lottery was instituted later.
I can't hear what?
The lottery was later because when they ran
out. Okay, right. They changed. They stopped. They first had a foot race. Okay, that's not our point. That's not the point. Let's read over here. Lama mefisin v'chayzrin mefisin. Why did they make a lottery? V'chayzrin and nochal lottery. Allah, what is Hayom Beis Hamikdash? Arba pum, four times v'yom v'loy orchim es kol agarolos be'asifa achas. Once, just make it once. I'm even adding, make it none. I'm just coming to add my own question. What do you have to go do all together? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kidei lahargish kol ha'azara. The reason why is to make noise. It should be busy. Busy. There's an excitement when you come to shul and there's a lot of foot traffic. There's a lot of people walking around. Tutzuch. People are busy. When there's a lot of busy, it creates a certain environment of excitement, of life. You go to an old age home, everyone is just, it's very depressing. It's very depressing. You need vibrancy. You need there to be life. You go to a yeshiva katana, you walk in the aisle, these kids can run you over. Baruch Hashem, everyone is running. Where are they all running? I don't know where they're running, but they're running somewhere. And it gives life. There's a feeling of excitement. This creates a whole different frame of mind. It creates simcha. So therefore, it wasn't necessary to do the girl four times. They could have done it one time. And I'm asking, they don't even need to do it even one time. You can do it other ways. No. Beveis Hashem Nahalech Birogesh. There has to be excitement. Has to be people running around, people talking and moving and this politics and this and that. There's gotta be activity. Activity is life. Volatility. The stock market goes up and down. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kidei lahargish kol ha'ligroim l'kol ha'moin rav kama pamim b'yoyim shekachu kavod Hashem shenemar asher yachtav namtik soid. Beveis l'kim nahalach b'rogesh. Lishka sagozis came in and he goes on to explain over here, and he goes on to explain the whole process. I recently had a conversation with someone. There was a shir, a certain shir. The shir now is in its 25th year. Okay, the shir actually moved to a different shul, a certain type of shir. And the person who established the shir, he said to me, he said, why did I make this shir? He said, why? He said, do you think I made, I'm a little elaborating on what he said, but this is really what he said to me. Well, you think I made the shir because lahagdil toru lahadira? There was a certain shir that was established 25 years ago in a shul. You think I made it because I want there to be a marbitz Torah? Oh, people should come. They should learn Torah. They shouldn't do averos at that time of the day. You know, it's a certain time. Nah, that wasn't my intent. I had no intent that the shir should be established in order that people should learn Torah. People should have what to do with themselves. Or that to give kavod to certain talmidei chacham, they can come speak and people should come. You know why I made the shir? He said to me, he said, you know why my kavanah to make the shir? In order that it should be busy. There should be activity in the shul. The shul should be a place where you're hopping. There should be rogesh. There should be commotion. Oh, who's giving the shir this week? Who's like, over here they have a shir, every Friday they have a shir over here for women over here in this shul now. Every Friday, every Shabbos. There's always a sign outside. There should be traffic. People should come into the shul. People should look at the sign. Who's speaking? They should talk. There should be a commotion. There should be activity. He told me, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, you know, for this reason. All the obvious reasons. That's not why I established the shir. I just want there to be life in the shul. If there's a shir in the shul, there's life. Once there's life, memela. People will learn, they'll daven, they'll give tzedakah, the neighborhood will, people will move into the neighborhood, there'll be activity, there'll be chaverim. You need sometimes in life, there should just be activity. You have downstairs a senior citizen center, right? So what's the purpose? There are many purposes, but one purpose it definitely serves is just come, just for the purpose of coming. Activity. You like the food, you don't like the food, you like the people, you don't like the people, you like the program. You just come. You come, you're tutzach, you're busy, you fight, you go downstairs, you see people screaming at each other. Excellent. It gets your blood, you know, gets the circulation going in your body. If you were at home and you were just, you come, you fight. It's good to fight a little bit. You come to the kollel. A collector comes to shul. Mayor Appeldorf. He gives them the business. Gevalik. You give some. There's some activity in life. Beveis Hashem nahalech birogesh. Birogesh. I had another conversation with in a certain yeshiva where they're doing these things, and I told one of the administrators that it's literally scandalous what's going on there. I'm exaggerating. What kind of nonsense is this? Did they make this shir and this coil and that coil? So he says to me, you're right, you're 100% right. But it brings traffic. This traffic. It's totally crazy what's going, totally nonsense and this. But, you know, there's a lot of traffic. Whatever. Okay, that's a different discussion. But he admitted to me that there are different things that don't make any sense. Whatever it is, whatever. He said, but you know, it brings in a lot of traffic, and that's wonderful. And it is. You can't find parking. The place, you can't get a seat. It's busy, 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 busy. Traffic. Beveis Hashem nahalech birogesh. No one likes to be in a community that it's dead. It's dead. You want to be in a place of vibrancy, of life.
Yoli Regal also, I think, used to go.
Yoli Regal, people, Tutsuch, where are you going? You're going nowhere. You're going in circles. But there's something, there's some excitement. There is an excitement of Beveis Hashem Nahalech Berogesh. That is a very important thing of a leader, to create rogesh. People should just be busy with nonsense. Because if you're busy, and there's life, it creates a frame of mind. It opens up your mind to have she'ifos to actually accomplish something for real.
Every hour a minion.
Okay, Landau's. There's a minion, right? You have a shul. Yeah, there are certain shuls with the rabban. They want there to be a lot of minyanim. What do you want a lot of minyanim? What's this all about?
They call it the minion factory.
What do you want a minion factory? Is there a mile? I can't dive in these minion factories, but some of them love these minion factories. Why? It definitely creates beveis Hashem nahalich berogesh. It creates life. It's a gefer shu gemara. They were mafayis. They could have made one goyol. It wasn't necessary to have four goyolos. It wasn't necessary. We're going to do it even though it's not necessary. It's a tircha. It's a tircha for everyone. You're wasting time. But people are moving. It creates a dynamic that is beneficial, trickles down to the whole environment, the ambiance. There's something to it. If you're too efficient, this is a general rule, and they teach in business school. You want to optimize. You have a company, and there's a lot of waste. Today everything is unlimited. They used to be make people make phone calls. You let people make phone calls, private phone calls on the telephone. You let people take breaks. You can go and you can optimize any company, any business or any company, you can optimize to cut out, to eliminate a lot of waste. But it's always been proven, if you optimize a business environment to an extreme degree, the whole business will collapse. There has to be waste in life. The waste in life gives what's called rogesh. People, they come, they socialize. A lot of companies, they have places where people can come, they can take a break, they can socialize, the company provides, some little entertainment. Right now, it's a whole different world now because of COVID, everyone is staying home and this and that. But in life, there is usually a lot of waste. And it's not really waste. Because when you attempt to eliminate the waste and optimize everything to perfection, you take away the rogesh. You take away the sounds of life, and then it becomes dull and boring, and then there's no she'ifa to achieve, to accomplish, and to succeed, and things just peter out. It's a very big chokhmah to know where, when not to eliminate, to allow there to be a lack of optimization, an acceptance of wasted time, wasted resources, because that creates rogesh, and it's referred to Chazal in the Beis Hamikdash. They could have optimized. Every moment is precious. The Kohanim should be learning Musar. They should be davening. They should be learning. You're wasting their time. They should gather for a pious. Who needs this? They should be sitting there and learning Mesilas Yesharim and shuckling and davening. And they're getting in the way. There are too many of them. They're walking around. People have to get to their location. They have to go and bring korbanos. There's gridlock. What are you doing? What's this all about? Yeah, go try to optimize the Beis HaMikdash. Eliminate all of this. You know what's going to happen? It'll become an old age home. And no one will have any interest in going to the Beis HaMikdash. It'll be boring. Oh, I'm not coming over here. And then, Rachman al-Itzlan, it can take a turn, a very bad turn. There has to be an allowance of nonsense in this world sometimes in order to create that Beveis Hashem Nahalech Birogesh. So Sacha called four Mahalchim in Beveis Hashem Nahalech Birogesh. Number one, together. David says to Achitofel, you know, we used to go together. We would walk together into Yeshiva, into the Beis Medrash. Beveis Hashem Nahalech Birogesh, I think the most common translation is, when you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to go with emotion, with regesh, feeling, drive, passion. The third interpretation we had from the Derech Melitza, a very frightening thing, the Malach HaMavos is saying, we were extracting, that don't think the Beis Medrash is a mufka from din. If in the Beis Medrash there's going to be rogesh, machloikis, dirty politics, which unfortunately is not so uncommon. There's no, the dirtiest politics in the world are yeshiva politics. And Rachman al-Islam, there's going to be shul politics. Shul politics. Okay, shul politics, yeshiva politics is the ugliest in the world. And the Malach HaMavos says, if there's going to be rogesh, there's going to be machloikis, there's going to be mered, commotion in the Beis Medrash, in the Beis Elokim, then the Malach HaMavos says, I'm also coming there. I'm also coming. If there's going to be Beveis Hashem Nahalech, the Malach HaMavos is the speaker according to the Malbim's Melitza, I'm also coming there. Watch out. Don't think that because you're Oisik in Talmud Torah, and Torah is Eitz, Chayim Hi, L'machazikim Ba, V'samchechon Me'ushar, it's life and happiness. That's right. The Beis Medrash is a mokim of life and happiness. It's Maruch Yama Vushnois of Shaladam. But if you're going to corrupt this mokim and you're going to make the Beis Elokim Nahalech Berogesh, you're in trouble. Then the Malach HaMavos says, I'm also coming. Then we have over here this interpretation, this interpretation, the Beis Shem Halech Berogesh is noise. When you come to a Beis Elokim, there should be activities. Avoy Subanim, Mitzvah Shabbos, sometimes Mitzvah Shabbos, I daven Mitzvah Shabbos, so I stick around the after davening a little bit sometimes. And then all of a sudden the kids come for Avoy Subanim. It's the most beautiful thing. These little pipsqueaks come. They come for the raffle. They come for the raffle, you're right. They come, that it's amazing. They open up the closet, they take out the prizes, and they put on the bima all these funny prizes. They get an amazing savings, they pile up, and they come there, the tickets, and they, you gotta go see this, what goes on there. And then they come, the pizza, and there's these little pipsqueaks, they come, they run in the shul, and they sit down there with their chumash and with their sheets, and the parents, the fathers come in there like zombies, oh boy. And but these kids, it's beautiful, they come, and they, mamash, if you don't watch, they can drive right over you. They come in, these little kids, they come in with such an excitement. It's unbelievable. This is, and what are they doing there? Like you said, 90% of the time, they're not learning. They come in there for the raffles. But no, they come there, they learn a little bit. Beveis Elokim Nahalech Berogesh. This, you gotta have activities. A chazin, cool, this one, yeah.
Productive noise, like an ashram. The merchant calls out his merchandise. There is 20 people already buying, but he still calls.
He still calls out. Yeah. Even though, like,
noise,
like you pass on Erev Shabbos and Avenue J, half price, fruit, they scream out in front of a blue ribbon. They scream out. You're right. There is something to it. In a Beis Elokim, there has to be programs. Has to be meetings, has to be activities, has to be all different types of things in order to create the rogesh. And sometimes that means you have to do things that are, you know, they're not really important. But it is important. The proof is, look what it says. Look what it says in this Maimon Chazal, in the Beis HaMikdash. They were mafayis. Three, you're wasting everyone's time in the holiest place in the world. What are you doing over here? The Shechina is resting here. Focus, dive into Hashem. No. You have to also make noise. You gotta have activities. Get things going. And then we have another pshat, the drush. We used to always say this in the Daf Yomi. You come to the shir no matter what. Berogesh, whether this borod, ruach, geshem, and shelik. Famous vart, you come to the shir beveis elokim nahalech berogesh. All conditions, doesn't matter what the conditions are. They can be hailstorms, barad. They can be a hurricane, category 5, ruach. They can be Geshem, pouring rain, and they can be Shelag, they can be 3 feet of snow. You show up to the base Elokim, Nahalech, Biragesh. So I think it's either five, I can't count that high. Either 5 or 6 Perushim we have on this beautiful Pasuk, Bevez Elokim, Nahalech, Biragesh. Okay, running out of time, let me go to another thing I marked off. I marked off on this page. Let's see what we marked off over here. Okay, let's turn, we're running out of not much time. 490, what I write on page 490, what I mark over here. In the Rid, what do we write over here in the Rid? Oh, Sela. Okay, this is very interesting. Okay, this talk very, Asher Ein Chalifa Islamai. Okay, so this is something that this is really something very interesting with the Mincha Shai as well. Yishma Kel Pasachov. Yishma Kel V'yaneim V'yoyshev Kedem Sela Asher Ein Chalifa Islamai V'lo Yaru Elokim. Now we really struggle to translate this pasuk. Okay, we learn like that. We started off there. What is difficult about this pasuk? First of all, what is the word? What are all the variables about this pasuk? Number one is the word v'ya'aneim. Does the word v'ya'aneim mean to humble them, to defeat them, or does the word v'ya'aneim mean to answer? The second thing that we discussed is the word v'yoshev kedem. This is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number three, the word selah sticks out like a sore thumb. What is that word doing here, and how does it relate to the parish? So we went through, then the number four, what is this expression, asher, ein chalifois lomoi? What does that mean? So basically, so we said, I'll review now with you just for the moment, the parish of the Mitzudos David. What did the Mitzudos David said? He said that David here is cursing his enemies. He says, Yishmakel, may you Hashem listen to me. Listen to my curses, v'ya'aneim, and humble my enemies, period. And then David says, and there's one more word you have to add to the equation, sela. You have to skip a word. That's what the Mitzudas David said. The Mitzudas David says that the words of this pasuk are not in order. That's no big deal. The word sela means forever. So he basically said, Yishmakel, may Hashem listen to my prayer, to my curse, v'ya'aneim, humble my enemy, sela forever. My enemy should be defeated and never ever raise its ugly head. And then David gives another curse. And he says, V'yoyshev kedem, you Hashem, who dwell in heaven that was created at the time of my Sibereshis, may you curse them, my enemies. Why should you curse my enemies? Because, Asher ein chalifa islamo, they don't believe they're ever going to die. That's how the Mitzudas David said. Let's go back one more time. The Yoyshev Kedem, Hashem, who lives in heaven from time immemorial, may he listen to my prayers, and may he humble my enemies forever. Why are my enemies deserving of death? Why did my enemies do such horrible, terrible averos? The root cause of their sin is Asher Ein Chalifa Islamo. They don't believe they'll ever die. They think they will live forever. The word Khalifa means to change. What does it mean to change? To change their location from Olam Hazeh, from this world, to the next world. And number two, Vilo Yaru Elokim. My enemies do not fear God. Okay, so we've gone through many different words, many variables. We've tried to make a whole challenge and to put together all these words together. Of who's the subject, who's speaking? David is speaking. V'yane means to humble. Hashem is called here Yoyshev Kedem. The word Sela means forever, and in this case it means that Hashem should put an end to my enemies forever. They should never recover, never be resurrected. Why do my enemies deserve to be eliminated? What is the root cause of their evil? It's because they don't think they will ever die. dying is called a chalifa. You move, you exchanged your location from this world to the next world. And number two, v'lo yorei elokim, they're not afraid of Hashem. Every single one of those words that I just mentioned is subject to an enormous amount of controversy. Now here's one for Rav Michal. First of all, this term of Yoshev Kedem is a description of Hashem. There's a Baal HaTurim here. Here it is. If you want to know what the Baal HaTurim is, mark down this paper, pull it out of the, rip it out of the Chumash, and hang it up on your wall. Rabbi Nami, give me one second. Okay. We'll come to that in a second. But right now, we're learning what it says in the Mitzvah Stav. In the Mitzvah Stav, it says what Khalifa means. The reason for their evil is because they don't fear they will ever die. That's the way many of the commentators on this page explain the word Khalifa. To exchange their location from this world to the next world. It does not come upon their mind the reality that they will die. Okay, but here we have the word Yoshev Kedem. Hashem, how many names does Hashem have?
70.
The Baal HaTurim here enumerates every single name of Hashem. Look at this Baal HaTurim. Yoshev Kedem Sela. The reason why he quotes over here is because the term Yoshev Sela is one of the 70 descriptions of Hashem. Hashem in Tanakh, this is an incredible, awesome, off the charts, out of the ballpark home run idea. Hashem is described in Tanakh with 70 different terms. Each term is another dimension of Hashem's nature, of the way that we can relate to Hashem. 70 different descriptions of Hashem. The term that Hashem is the Yoshev Kedem, the one that has sat seemingly on his throne in heaven from time immemorial, from before the world was created, Hashem's existence is described with this term, Yoshev Kedem. Look at the Baal HaTurim here on page 490. Look at the Baal HaTurim. Yoshev Kedem, Esfali Shiv Mishka. He's going over here, referring to Pesukim Bamidbar, when Moshe says to Hashem, I need some help, some assistance. And it says there, give me, why did Moshe Rabbeinu, this is an incredible, why are there 70 members of the Sanhedrin? Each member of the Sanhedrin represents another dimension of Hashem. Another dimension is the way we can relate to Hashem. Kineged Shivim, first he says many things. First, Kineged, why 70 members of the Sanhedrin? Kineged Shivim Nefesh Sheyardu L'Mitzrayim. Okay, Klal Yisrael originated with 70 souls. Ukineged Shivim Umois, there are 70 nations. Ukineged, here we go, the Shivim Shemois, Now, if you would stop right here, you would think it's some esoteric combination of letters. Letters, Kabbalistic terms, you take three psukim and you put them back to back and you make letters. You would think it's some really way out mystical Kabbalah. No, the 70 names of Hashem are practical names. The Eluhain. Here he starts out with some of the basics. Kel, Elohim, Hashem, Echod, Odoin, Adir, Eke. Now we get with some of the more esoteric ones. Amitz. What? Okay, very. I didn't even realize that. Excellent. I did not even realize an alphabetical order. That's also amazing. Alphabetical order. Amitz, Emes, Erech, Apayim, Acharoin. What does it mean, Acharon? Some of them he explains, Hashem does not give over his malchus to anyone else. Emuna, Eshkol HaKoifer, a cluster of a certain type of spice, that's in Shir HaShirim. Baruch, Boire, Godol, Geye, Goyel, Gibor, Dogul, Hayodea, Hayodea Vo'eit, in the term, Hayodea Vo'eit, Zoicher, Chai, Chai, Chosid, Chanun, Choyker, Chasin means Rachmanis, Chochom, Toiv, Tohar, Toharinayim. We say that in the Sli, in the Piyutim, Rashan, Toharinayim, Yoshar, Yoyeshev, Seser, Kavar. This one is a hard one. Kovoid Hamistater. What does that mean? The honor that is hidden, the hidden honor. Noir or Niskov Netzach Noitzer Chesed Noisi Ovoi Noisi Pesha Noisi Chait Noikem Noiter Sela Ah, and now we have Yoishev Kedem Sela. Okay, we have over here, he has their Sela and Yoishev Kedem Sela. Notice this is very, very interesting because I told you I was mechavim this when we learned this is that what's the word Sela? The Mitzudas David did not want to use the word Sela as part of Hashem's name, as part of Hashem's description. The Mitzudas David was very clear, the word Sela is describing David's request that his enemies be eliminated forever. I said, why do you have to say that? Why can't you say the word Sela is part of the description of Hashem? And the Baal HaTurim, in citing this Chazal, does exactly that. Is that Yoishev, Kedem, Sela are three words which together form one of Hashem's names. Okay, then it goes Salach, the goes through all the other ones as well. You can go look at it later on. This is really an amazing, amazing, it's right here for you. All of the 70 names of. No, that doesn't mean Hashem's name. He's not saying, first of all of these words don't only mean Hashem, okay? First of all, many of these words, it just because it says the word Rishon, every time it says Rishon, it means Hashem. It means in a certain context, the word Rishon means Hashem. But the word Rishon means Yom Rishon. It means the first. So when it says the word Sela, Sela doesn't always mean Hashem's name. Sela means forever. It's a word. There are all of the. There are only seven shemos she'enim nemchokim. Okay. Then there are many. We have the sadakasha. There are many different words that are used, and it depends on the context. Sela means forever. However, sometimes the word Sela in a specific context is used to describe Hashem. So it depends. It depends on the context. Okay, so this is an awesome, cannot emphasize what a beautiful Maimer Chazal this is, what he's quoting over here. He's giving you the 70 descriptions of Hashem in Tanakh from beginning to end. And many of these terms, you find them in the Nusach of the Piyutim. And one of them over here is Yoishev Kedem Sela. It is three words, which is a description of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is the one that has been Yoishev Kedem Sela, Sela, forever. Forever means both going backwards and forwards. Doesn't the word Sela, we have a tendency, we've done many, many times, we think when we say Li'olam Voed, we think we're always going forward. Not true. Li'olam Voed means going backwards as well. Forever goes both ways, backwards and forwards. That's how we think, forwards, because we live in a world we only look forwards. But Le'olam Voed and its cousins, Sela, means backwards. Ani Rishon v'ani Acharon. Hashem was in existence forever, going backwards. Okay, now there's another very interesting thing that Asherein Chalifa Slamo, and this is what the Mincha Shai alludes to. He says something very, very interesting. What does the word Sela mean? So we have Sela. Sela means forever. Okay, and we have Sela means a rock. Can mean a rock, right? Something very, very strong. Hashem, but Sela. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. My great ignorance. Okay, I'll take that back. Sela means forever. Sela in Tehillim also sometimes is used, we have this in the Farsh, as a musical note. It means, in one interpretation, it is a signal to the conductor or to the orchestra or to the singers to do something. To stop, to raise your voice, to sit down. When it's not so clear, maybe it depends on the context. The word Sela, just like we have the word Lam Natseach, can mean many different things. It means for the conductor. It also can mean a certain type of indication for the singers, the conductor. The word Sela also can be some type of indication for the conductor. Okay, so that the Mincha Shai, when he says the word Sela, he's also very disturbed with the word Sela. here on the page, and where is maybe I'm, I have to go look at, or maybe it was the Radak where I see where. Okay, but he says, like, give me 1 second to bring it up. I marked it down over here. No, it's the Malbum. I think it's the Malbum. Okay, the Malbum. Okay, look at the Malbum. The Malbum in the Be'er Hamilos, page 491. Page 491. You have to appreciate the word Selah here is in the middle of the Pasuk. What is unique about this Selah, more so than any other Selah, is that this Selah is in the middle of a Pasuk. The word Selah, okay, Dr. Tov, is ordinarily at the end of a Pasuk. At the end of something. You don't have the word Selah smack in the middle of a Pasuk. This is extremely rare to have such a thing like this. So therefore, if you go in a world and the word Selah over here is a description of Hashem, like what it says in the Balaturim, the Medrashani sites, wonderful. The Yoshev Kedem Selah. Yoshev, it is three words which are describing Hashem. Okay, so the word Selah in this context is not a musical note. It is nothing more than just a description of Hashem. Fine. If you want to learn that the word Selah simply means forever, like the Mitzvah David says, it's part of the Pasuk. David is begging Hashem through Tefillah that he should eliminate his enemies forever. No problem. No problem. So if Selah is a description of Hashem, it's good. If it's part of the narrative of the Pasuk, it's good. But if you want to go with the approach that the word Selah is not a description of Hashem, and is not part of David's request, but rather it is a musical note. It is nothing more than a symbol in the Mizmar as an indication to the conductor what to do at this point in the Mizmar. Never do we ever have a indication in the middle of a Pasuk telling the conductor what to do. You don't have it in the middle. So what is it doing there here in the middle? So the Malbim says that Eino Chinami, Selah, Mila Zos Moira Al Hahefsik. Okay, the Malbim in the Be'er Hamilos is learning, is referring over here to a musical note for the conductor. Ucheshebo Be'emsa HaPosuk Yoire Al Maimar Muskar. It's the ancient way of using parentheses. Okay, when you want to put something in parentheses, we have all these nice symbols on our keyboard. You have a parenthesis, you have a bracket, you have a less than sign, a greater than sign. Okay, in this book alone, they use all different. We all know that in the modern world, in modern printing, in writing, you want a parenthetical. You write a sentence and you put things in parentheses. In order, it's not part of the main text, or you put something in brackets. Here we see in this edition, they use for Rashi the less than sign and the greater than sign as a symbol that it's parenthetical, or it's added by an editor, whatever it is. What did they do in ancient times when they wanted to put something in parentheses? What kind of symbols did they use? Okay, how did they make paragraphs, chapters? So we know there's a parasha psucha, and a parsha stuma. There are no periods, there are no quotation marks. There are other techniques, okay? We come across different ancient techniques in the equivalent of today. You want to put something in bold, on italics, in parentheses, quotation marks, a semicolon. Does anyone here know how to use a semicolon? How do you use, when do you use a colon and when do you use a semicolon? Okay. If this is what we do today, the world is not foolish. If we have in our books semicolons and colons, quotation marks, italics, everyone know how to use in a word processor all the different types of styles. There's headings, heading one, heading two, heading three, heading four. Does anyone know why there are 5, 6 headings? Does anyone ever use any even heading one? These are all techniques that are used by professionals in writing in these techniques. You have bullets with numbers. There are a lot of techniques. In ancient times, they also had techniques. So he says over here something that is totally off the charts, amazing, the Malbim, is that whenever you have the word Selah in the middle of a pasuk, it's not a word, like the Mitzude says, or like the Balaturim. It means, I'm going to tell you something now that should be put in parentheses. And you have to look at the other Mefarshim to explain what he basically means to say is, the term Asher Ein Chalifois Lomoi is a parenthetical statement describing Hashem. We until now learned that the term Ein Chalifois Lomoi means it is an explanation as to why my enemies deserve to die. You know why they deserve to die? Because they don't fear death. They don't fear death. The reason why David said Yashimoves Olemoi is because a person who lives their life not contemplating the reality that they will die deserves to die. Okay, that's how we learned until now, the Pshut Shel Mikra. How does the term Khalifa have anything to do with death? So we explained, everyone over here on the page, because it means to change, to exchange. Exchange, that's not really a good term to describe death. So he said it means to, you change from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. You move from this world to the next world. Okay, it's not satisfying, that interpretation. The Malbim here is alluding to a different interpretation, which it does say by some of the parashim on the page, and that is, Hashem is eternal. There is no exchange for Hashem. Ein Chalifoi Slomo is a parenthetical statement, description of Hashem. There is nothing in this world that can be exchanged for Hashem. You cannot give up Hashem for anything. In life, you know, you can barter. I have a gold. I don't, you know what? I'd rather have silver. So let me exchange gold for silver. I have land. Let me exchange a piece of property in Brooklyn for a piece of property in Lakewood. Okay, a person has stocks. I'll exchange this asset, this commodity for another commodity. Everything in life you can exchange. I'll give up this for something else. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate being. Ein Chalifois Lomoi. There is no exchange for Hashem. He is beyond exchange. He is everything. He is infinite. And when it says the word Selah, according to the Malbim says, we have over here, the Yoyishev Kedem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is called the Yoyishev Kedem. Who is the Yoyishev Kedem? Selah. Selah is an ancient parenthesis. It is Hashem. It is a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is the being Ein Chalifa Islamoi. Selah is telling us that the next expression, Asher Ein Chalifa Islamoi, is a description of Yoishev Kedem. Okay, this is what the Malbim is saying. Yeah? So that's very hard. So it seems, I was struggling with this yesterday. It seems that V'lo Yoru Elokim is also a description of Hashem, but I don't know what it means. I can't figure it out what he's trying to say. Some of the farshim talk about it. Let's not do that. We don't need to do that. Let's say V'lo Yoru Elokim is going back on David's enemies. Yishma kel v'yanem, because V'lo Yoru Elokim, let Hashem eliminate my enemies, because my enemies have no fear of God. V'lo Yoru Elokim is going on David's enemies. So Yishma Kel V'Yanim, and then it's V'Yoyishev Kedem, Hashem is being described here with two terms, he's Kel and the Yoyishev Kedem. May he listen and eliminate my enemies because they do not fear God. And by the way, who is Hashem? Who is the Yoyishev Kedem? The Yoyishev Kedem is the being which Ein Chalifoi Slomai. There is no exchange for Hashem. All right. I thought that was really fascinating. And I'll tell you one last very quick vart. The very last vart it says over here, this is not from the Sefer, but it's one of the Sefer. V'yato l'kim tov yivul v'rashachas anshei dom amirma lo yechetsu yimehem. By the way, they should not make out half of their lives. All the first we say, how old were all of these wicked people when they died? They all were 33 or 34. Because half, they should not make it to 35. Why not 35? 35 would be half their life. A person lives to 70. Today, don't worry about it, today 90 is the new 50. 90 is the new 50, so you don't start until you're 90 years old. But it says in the pasuk, you may shenoseim bohem shivim shana 70. So therefore, 35 would be halfway mark. All of the rishoyim died when they were 34, including Achitofel, Doeg, and Bilam. Chazal give three people, Yashka. Yeah, he was 34?
They say he was 33
means you're in your 34th year. When they're 33, it means you really, in Chazal, you're always a year ahead. When you're 33, you're now in your 34th year. It's like you say to a little kid, he has a newborn baby, newborn sibling, how old are you? I'm 3 years old. Wow, 3 years old. How old is the new baby? So they go, I say, the baby is 0 years old. If you're 3 years old, that has to mean that the baby is 0 years old, right? So in Chazal, it's not so. A new-year-old, a newborn baby is 1 year old in the eyes of Chazal. So when we call someone being 33 years old, he's really in his 34th year. A newborn baby is in his first year. So someone who's 33 is in his 34th year. We don't want him to get to 35, because 35 is half of 70. Lo yechetsu yimehem. The curse of the wicked is they should not make it to the age of 35. And that is why Doeg, Achitofel, and Bilam died when they were 34, and they're 34. He also, wow, lo yechetsu yimehem. There's a very famous Chazal said that a person should always look at himself like his chatzi chayiv and chatzi zakai. In fact, he should look at the entire world. The entire world is hanging on the scales. 50% of the world are tzaddikim, 50% are rishoyim. A person himself is in the middle. 50% chayiv, 50 zakai. He's now about to do something. He has a nisoyon. If he does the right thing, he's going to tip the scale. 51% for himself, for good. Not only is he going to tip the scale for himself, he's going to tip the scale for the entire world. A person should always look at the world as 50-50, look at himself 50-50, and should carry on his shoulders the weight of the entire world. If you do a mitzvah, you will tilt the scales for good. If you do an aver, you'll tilt the scales for bad. So that's what a tzaddik is supposed to do. He should take the world seriously. Live a serious life. It's a very ambiguous yisoid. It's a very powerful yisoid, this chazal. To live a life where your actions make a difference. You carry upon your shoulders the weight of the world. Rishoyim couldn't care less. They live a life of hefkeres. They don't look at the world as 50-50. That's what it says. Anshei damim umirma lo yechetsu yimehem. The wicked people don't, when they go through their days of their lives, they don't do this technique of yechetsu. They don't look at themselves being 50-50 and the world 50-50. Who cares? I'll do whatever I want. The world should go go to pot, exactly. Lo yechetsu yimehem. They don't live their days out with the principle of le'olam. A person should look at himself chatzi zakai chatzi chayev. The world is chatzi zakai chatzi chayev. They don't carry on their shoulders the weight of the world, and that's why there are so many problems. I know it's extremely late, but I wanted to finish this Mizmar today, so tomorrow we can begin Mizmar Nun Vav.
Rosh Yosef ben Moshe. Gave a ticket next week. That's for the cake. Also, I think there's a ratio, under one information.
Yeah, which one?
I forgot what it is. Ratio or cosmic?
Okie dokie.
Did I tell you what one of the things that I mentioned yesterday was, I think I mentioned it to you earlier, that the quiet says, I'm a son, you know, he said, no more, no less, this is the you see, this is the way society was. There is a societal rules. Shows you that way back then, it was the same thought process. So there are rules here, so don't overdo it. This is what I'm telling you. This is the punishment that somebody stands to answer.
You might as well take the 750 and cut the money.
Oh, Hank.
What was going on there that the oldest society and the Torah is now
Right. That's how he explains. I mean, he likes to explain things accordingly.